hard to find in the morning papers. It's hard to find in the magazines. It doesn't matter what show you tune in. It's hard to find on TV screen, but it's on talk radio. Truth is on talk radio. Turn it on, turn it up as loud as it'll go. Talk radio. Well, double talk is all you get, and you wanna hear it straight. There's a place to find all the answers. AM/FM Shortwave.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stattmiller. We're live with you today on Wednesday, the 29th of August, 2007. Excuse me, my mic boom was in the way of the atomic clock on the wall. We're waiting for Bob Schultz to come up on air. He's filing some paperwork in Manhattan, New York. He said if he can get to us, if he can't get to the filing by 5 o'clock, fight New York City traffic, and he's going to stay in a hotel. At any rate, we hope to have him on the program here very, very shortly. So as soon as he comes in, we will bring Bob Schultz up. And Bob Schultz's website is down. He voluntarily took his own website down. When he comes on, I'll have him give you full explanation as to that. And, well, rather than me saying the words, we'll let Mr. Schultz say the words. There is a story that, and this is almost, maybe this is fortuitous that this happened this way, that Mr. Schultz will be joining us later on. There is, out of Raw Story, a study, U.S. preparing massive military attack against Iran. If you've been watching Fox News, they were the cheerleaders for George W. Bush and going into Afghanistan and Iraq. They limit the criticisms on Fox News about George Bush and the Iraq deal, giving him, I don't know where his poll ratings would be right now if Fox News wasn't trying to outfox everybody and be a cheerleader for George and his illegal wars in the Middle East, but apparently they're getting ready to expand it. And I have in front of me, this thing is, 60, 70, 80, 80-some pages long, a discussion paper on weapons of mass destruction in the Middle East, and they mention Iran. Where Iran's position in this deal is, look, we're going ahead with our nuclear facilities. We are going to build nuclear facilities here in our country to generate electricity. And the big worry is that they'll take nuclear fissionable materials and make some bombs. And you folks that listen to this program, you know what my position is on nuclear weapons. Probably the most dangerous and dastardly thing that humankind has ever created. But there are peaceful purposes for nuclear energy. The problem is, what do you do with the nuclear waste? That's yet to be figured out. But, folks, we built the bomb. We were the first and only people to ever use the bomb in war on Nagasaki in Japan. Going back to 1945, chances are Japan was ready to collapse anyhow, but this made a great statement. You know, kill a bunch of people, look what we can do with just one bomb. Since then, nobody has ever used a nuclear weapon against each other. And it is because the very nature of the bomb itself, once you let that baby go, there's no taking it back. And, of course, what they worry about is nuclear escalation and nuclear war that would turn everything under the planet. It would glow during the night, and if you're in close proximity of blast or ground zero, that you'd be lucky if you were cooked medium rare and probably die of nuclear poisoning. At any rate, I'll continue this and read the story right after this break.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our Renewable Energy Solar Program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our Renewable Energy Solar System converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year that is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permanent hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner at RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
Sorry about that, folks. Do we have funny bones in our knees? I just whacked my knee on a broadcast table, and we're coming back out of break. Let me catch my breath here. Whew. I got sensitive knees. You know, I can't sleep at night face down on a bed because it bothers my knees. Whoa. At any rate, on to serious issues here. Study U.S. preparing massive military attack against Iran. It was filed by Larissa Alexandrovna and Muriel Kane, and they write on Raw Story, the United States has the capacity for and may be prepared to launch without warning a massive assault on Iranian uranium enrichment facilities as well as government buildings and infrastructure using long-range bombers and missiles, according to a new analysis. The paper, Considering a War with Iran, a discussion paper on weapons of mass destruction in the Middle East, folks, you can download that entire thing if you go to rawstory.com. And as I said, it's 80-some pages by a Dr. Dan Plesh and Martin Butcher. I'm not making that up. The paper, Considering a War with Iran, Written by well-respected British scholar and arms expert Dr. Dan Plush, director of Center for International Studies and Diplomacy of the School of Oriental and African Studies, or the SOAS, at University of London, and Martin Butcher, a former director of the British American Security Information Council, or BASIC, and former advisor to Foreign Affairs Committee of the European Parliament, was exclusively provided to Raw Story late Friday under embargo. I don't know exactly what that means, but here it is. We wrote the report partly as we were surprised that this sort of quite elementary analysis had not been produced by the many well-researched institutes in the United States, according to Plush in an email to Raw Story on Tuesday. Plush and Butcher examine what the military option might involve if it were picked up off the table and put into action, and conclude that based on open source analysis and their own assessments, the U.S. has prepared its military for a massive attack against Iran, requiring little contingency planning and without a ground invasion. Now, the study concludes that the U.S. has made military preparation to destroy Iran's weapons of mass destruction, nuclear energy, regime, armed forces, state apparatus, and economic infrastructure within days, if not hours, of President George W. Bush giving the order. The U.S. is not publicizing the scale of these preparations to deter Iran, tending to make the confrontation more likely. The U.S. retains the option of avoiding war, but using its forces as part of an overall strategy of shaping Iran's actions. And here's the bullet points on it. Any attack is likely to be on a massive multi-front scale, but avoiding a ground invasion. Attacks focused on WMD facilities would leave Iran too many retaliatory options, leave President Bush open to the charge of using too little force, and leave the regime intact. U.S. bombers and long-range missiles are ready today to destroy 10,000 targets in Iran in a few hours. U.S. ground, air, and marine forces already in the Gulf, Iraq, and Afghanistan could devastate Iranian forces, the regime, and the state at short notice. Some form of low-level U.S. and possibly U.K. military action, as well as armed popular resistance, appear underway inside the Iranian provinces or ethnic areas of Kurdistan and Kazakhstan. Iran was unable to prevent sabotage in its offshore-to-shore crude oil pipelines in 2005. Nuclear weapons are ready, but most likely to be used by the U.S. and U.K. and Israel. The human political... Now, did you hear what I just said? Now, they have used, and they, Dick Cheney and others within the Bush administration have kind of let, in a Freudian sort of way, slip that, well, there is a nuclear option on the table. High-ranking people from the Pentagon have also referred to the same use of nuclear weapons. Now, it says that nuclear weapons are ready, but most unlikely to be used by the U.S., the U.K., and Israel. The human, political, and environmental effect would be devastating, while the military value is limited. Now, Israel is determined to prevent Iran from acquiring nuclear weapons, yet as the conventional military capability only to wound Iran's WMD programs. Now, I want to stop here. Let me digress for a second, because this is being labeled as weapons of mass destruction. If that is the case, does Mr. Ahmadinejad of Iran have the capability to come in here and demand of George Bush to shut down nuclear reactors inside the United States because they're potentially weapons of mass destruction? No, simply because the United States has a heck of a lot of nuclear weapons, as well as Israel. But see, Israel wants nuclear domination in the Middle East. They don't want any other Arab company, or country, rather, having these weapons. And some have even argued that, well, Israel should come clean if they're ready to nuke another country because they're thinking about maybe building a nuclear weapon. Well, doesn't that demonstrate that Israel is, of itself, a major threat in the Middle East? I would say yes. Some people may disagree. The attitude of the UK is uncertain, with the Brown government and public opinion opposed psychologically to more war, yet were Brown to support an attack, he would probably carry a vote in Parliament. The UK is adamant that Iran must not acquire the bomb. The U.S. is not publicizing the scale of these preparations to deter Iran, tending to make confrontation more likely. The U.S. retains the option of avoiding war, but using its forces as part of an overall strategy of shaping Iran's actions. When asked why the paper seems to indicate a certainty of Iranian weapons of mass destruction, Plush made clear that our mission, or our paper, is not, repeat, not about what Iran actually has or not. Yet he added that Iran certainly has missiles and probably some chemical capabilities. Most significantly, Plush and Butcher dispute conventional wisdom that any U.S. attacks on Iran would be confirmed to its nuclear sites. Instead, they foresee a full-spectrum approach designed to either instigate an overthrow of the government or reduce Iran to the status of a weak or failed state. Although they acknowledge potential risk and impediments that might deter the Bush administration from carrying out such a massive attack, they also emphasize that the administration's national security strategy includes as a major goal the elimination of Iran as a regional power. They suggest, therefore, that, and I'm quoting, this wider form of air attack would be the most likely to delay the Iranian nuclear program for a sufficiently long period of time to meet administration's current counterproliferation goals. It would also be consistent with the possible goal of employing military action is to overthrow the current Iranian government, since it would severely degrade the capability of the Iranian military, in particular the Revolutionary Guards units and ultra-loyalists, to keep armed opposition and separatist movements under control. It would also achieve the U.S. objective of neutralizing Iran as a power in the region for many years to come. However, it is the option that contains the greatest risk of increased global tension and hatred of the United States. The U.S. would have few, if any, allies for such a mission beyond Israel and possibly the U.K. Once undertaken, the imperatives for success would be enormous. Now, Butcher says he does not believe the U.S. would use nuclear weapons, with some exceptions. My opinion, and this is Butcher, my opinion is that nuclear weapons wouldn't be used unless there was a definite evidence that Iran has them too or is about to acquire them in a matter of days or weeks. However, the NATAZ facility has been so hardened that to destroy it may require nuclear weapons. And once an attack has started, it may simply be a matter of following military logic and doctrine to full extent, which would call for the use of nukes if all other means failed. Now, in the issue of military strategy, the bulk of the paper is devoted to a detailed analysis of specific military strategies for such an attack, of ongoing attempts to destabilize Iran by inciting its ethnic minorities, and of considerations surrounding the possible employment of nuclear weapons. Ladies and gentlemen, this is exactly what we did to Iraq. Do you fully believe that George Bush, to get rid of this evil Saddam Hussein, was just the mission of George Bush? Or was it to do, in fact, to destabilize the country, incite ethnic minorities, and to have the country basically fighting itself? I believe that that was the mission, the true mission. Because he declared the war over, what, a couple of years ago? Landing on an aircraft carrier, hey, it's been a success, the war is won. And then for this guy to come out a couple of days ago and start using Vietnam, and when we left Vietnam, well, look what happened to the poor people over there. I mean, this is totally mind-blowing, because we shouldn't have gone into Vietnam. There was no strategy to win anything. They kept saying that, well, communism will, you know, it's going to be a domino effect. You know, if Vietnam falls, then, you know, other countries will come under the communist regime. You know, this is utterly fantastic to me, because if we would have done what George Patton wanted to do, toward the end of World War II, is to take his tanks right into Russia and blow Uncle Joe Stalin to smithereens, we would not have world communism as you see it today, folks. I'll continue with this report right after this.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Take the heat out of your sleep. The Bedfan Personal Cooling System will work for anyone that is a hot sleeper, regardless of the reason. It gives you a deep, restful sleep, the way nature intended. No more tossing and turning. Say goodbye to sleepless nights. So ask yourself, are you a hot sleeper and really want to sleep cooler? A woman who suffers from the effects of menopause, including night sweats derived from hot flashes, have a medical condition that causes your body to get hot at night, or just want to save money on your air conditioning bill? It works instantly. No tools or assembly required. Don't worry. The Bedfan fits short beds, tall beds, beds with footboards, sleigh beds, water beds, and many other types of beds. If you want great relief and total comfort, give us a call at 1-210-632-8280. That's 1-210-632-8280. Or visit our site at bedfan.com, your provider for great sleep.
Introducing the new Blueprint Water Unit. This one-of-a-kind water technology uses natural frequencies to clean harmful toxins from your drinking water. We start with one of the best four-stage reverse osmosis systems. Then we retrofit the Blueprint Water System with twin vortices. This primary technology is designed to clear harmful water memory. We then imprint Blueprint frequencies harmonic to the human body. This is the only known living water recreated by live essence infusion. According to reports from users, the water helps balance the body's internal pH. Others have said the water has helped promote weight loss through detoxification. This water is so good, your body begins to crave its healthy input. For more information, call Natural Solution toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that's 866-885-6625.
The military strategy here, in particular, Plush and Butcher examine what is known as global strike, the capability to project military power from the United States to anywhere in the world, which was announced by Stratcom as having initial operation capability in December of 2005. It is that capability or capacity that would provide strategic bombers and missiles to devastate Iran on just a few hours' notice. Iran has a weak air force and anti-aircraft capability. Almost all of its 20 or 30-year-old weapons, it lacks modern integrated communications. Not only will these forces be rapidly destroyed by U.S. air power, but Iranian ground and air forces will have to fight without protection from air attack. Now, the British military sources stated that on condition of anonymity that, and I'm quoting, the U.S. military switched its whole focus on Iran from March 2003. It continued this focus even though it had infantry bogged down in fighting the insurgency in Iraq. Now, Global Strike could be combined with an already existing regional operation plans for limited war with Iran, such as the OP plan, for an attack on western provinces in Kazakhstan, or Aplan, which deals with preventing Iran from closing the Straits of Hormuz and therefore keeping open oil lanes vital to U.S. economy. Story goes on to say the Marines are not all tied down fighting in Iraq. Several Marine forces are assembling in the Gulf, each with its own aircraft carrier. These carrier forces can each conduct a version of D-Day type landings. They come with landing craft, tanks, jump jets, thousands of troops, and hundreds more cruise missiles. Their task is to destroy Iranian forces able to attack oil tankers and to secure oil fields and installations. They have trained for this mission since the Iranian Revolution of 1979, as indicated in this battle map of Hormuz, illustrating an advert for combat training software. Special forces units, which are believed to be already operating within Iran, would be available to carry out search and destroy missions and incite internal uprisings, while U.S. Army units in both Iraq and Afghanistan could mount air and missile attacks on Iranian forces, which are heavily concentrated along the Iran-Iraq border, as well as protecting their own supply lines within Iraq. A key assessment in any war with Iran concerns Basra province and the Kuwait border. It is likely that Iran and its sympathizers could take control of population centers and interrupt oil supplies if it was in their interest to do so. However, it is unlikely that they would make any sustained effort against Kuwait or interrupt supply lines north of Kuwait to central Iraq. U.S. firepower is simply too great for any Iranian conventional force. Now, experts question the report's conclusion. Former CIA analyst and Deputy Director for Transportation Security, Anti-Terrorist Assistance Training and Special Operations in the State Department's Office of Counterterrorism, Larry Johnson, does not agree with the report's findings. He says the report seems to accept without question that U.S. Air Force and Navy bombers could effectively destroy Iran, and they seem to ignore the fact that the U.S. use air power in Iraq has failed to destroy all major military, political, economic, and transport capabilities, said Johnson late Monday after the embargo on the study had been lifted. But at least in their conclusions, they're still acknowledging that Iran, if attacked, would be able to retaliate. Yet they are vague in terms of detailing the extent of damage that Iran is capable of inflicting on the U.S. and fairly assessing what those risks are. Now, let me stop here for a second, because what we did in 1953, the CIA installed the Shah of Iran. He was not real popular in Iran, and you saw the political backlash over here, over this deal with the Ayatollah Khomeini. Remember this frightful looking guy? Yeah. And he was a fundamentalist, and he wanted nothing to do whatsoever with the United States. The hostage deal back in 1979. You remember that one, folks? Well, we have been manipulating as well before us in the Middle East. Just ask the United Kingdom. They've been manipulating people and policies and governments in the Middle East before we even got there. Kind of like a Vietnam deal. You know, the French and the English were there before us, and then we went in there, lost 52,000 soldiers, spent billions and billions and billions of dollars, and caused social unrest and, well, people to start fighting and trying to gain political power there. Hence, what, a million or so people died after U.S. troops left there. They were not able to sustain themselves against the communist forces in North Vietnam. And, well, we're back doing business with them, but we seem to be extremely soft on communism for some reason. I mean, Saddam Hussein was not a communist. Ahmadinejad is not a communist. No, we're making money with the communists now. The United Nations, when that thing was built on U.S. soil, it was always understood that whoever was going to be the head of the United Nations, the president, if you will, was to be a communist. You don't believe that? Go back. Connect the dots yourself. Look at every one of these clowns that have been running the United Nations, and they all have been communist. We seem to wrap our arms around this communistic ideal, and, well, we have the watered-down version in politics, nestled, sorry to say, in the Democrat Party. You don't think Hillary Clinton's a communist? You'd better think again. Barack Obama, it doesn't matter. We'll be right back. I'll complete this story after this break.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Pinch me, Bill.
I can't believe it. A few months ago, I couldn't even afford gas for my car. And here we are with season tickets on the 50-yard line.
I know what you mean, John. I remember the day you saw my new car and asked me if I robbed Bill Gates. Our lives sure have changed since we discovered DidYouRobBillGates.com.
I was struggling to make ends meet. Now I've got a new car. And a college fund for Lisa when she graduates from high school next year. And I owe it all to you. Because you told me about DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Hey, John, we all win when the money problems disappear. I want to tell everybody. Because the more people we have on the success team, the better it works. It's hard for the little guy these days. We pool our resources to level the playing field.
So the more people that go to www.DidYouRobBillGates.com, the more cash for everybody.
What a concept.
Tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show.
There is also a situation of U.S. soldiers in Iraq and the supply routes that would have to be protected to ensure that U.S. forces had what they needed. Plesch explains that firepower is an effective means of securing supply routes during conventional war, and in a conventional war, a higher loss rate is expected. However, as we say, do not assume that the Iraqi Shia will rally to Tehran. The quickest Shia tradition favored by the Sistani may regard itself as justified if imploding Iran power can be argued to reduce U.S. problems in Iraq, not increase them. John Pike, director of global security, a Washington-based military intelligence and security clearinghouse, says the question of Iraq is one issue at the center of any questions regarding Iran. The situation in Iraq is a wild card, though it may be presumed that Iran would mount attacks on the U.S. at some remove, I don't understand what that means, at some remove, rather than upsetting the apple cart in its own front yard, wrote Pike in an email. Now, the political considerations on this. Plesch and Butcher write that with concern about political context within the United States. The debate is bleeding over into the 2008 presidential election, with evidence mounting that despite the public unpopularity of the war in Iraq, Iran is emerging as an issue over which presidential candidates in both major American parties can show their strong national security bona fides, except Ron Paul, that they're trying to minimize because this guy doesn't like our foreign policy. And if anybody's been paying attention, which a lot of people do not, they don't even know what American foreign policy is. The debate on how to deal with Iran is thus occurring in a political context in that the U.S. that is hard to find those in Europe and the Middle East to understand. The context that may seem to some to be divorced from reality, but with the U.S. ability to project military power across the globe, the reality of of Washington, D.C. is one that matters perhaps above all else. We should not underestimate the Bush administration's ability to convince itself that Iran of the regions will emerge from a post-rubble Iran. So do not be in the least surprised if the United States attacks Iran. Timing is an open question, but it is hard to find convincing arguments that war will be avoided, or at least ones that are convincing in Washington. Now, Plush and Butcher are also interested in the attitudes of the current UK government, which has carefully avoided revealing what its position might be in case of an attack. They point out, however, one key caution is that regardless of realities of Iran's program, the British public and elite may simply refuse to participate almost out of bloody-minded revenge for the Iraq deceit. And they conclude that even if the attack is successful and the U.S. reasserts its global military dominance and reduces Iran to the status of an oil-rich failed state, then the risk to humanity in general and to the states of the Middle East are grave indeed. Now, this Larsa Alexandrovna is the managing editor of Investigative News for Raw Story and regularly reports on intelligence and national security stories. Folks, what national interests are there in the Middle East for us? Oil? Not really. There has been a conspiracy, if you will, between U.S. oil producers and dealing with the Middle East, the Saudis, Venezuela, and anybody else. We'll take their oil, but we seek to always destabilize their government if we don't like it. One of the problems here is with Venezuela. Now, we all know about, and this ties into the North American Union, Venezuela and many other countries in South America are not going along with the North American Union. So, therefore, does not it make sense that we have regime change? Now, on the question of what interests protecting our interests in the Middle East are, there are none, folks. There are none. In Prudhoe Bay, North Slope, Gull Island, and I'll say this again, we have enough oil up there ready to be pumped out of the ground right now. I'm not talking about a year, 18 months, 2 years down the road. I am talking about right now. In Gull Island, they already have wells drilled. They are capped. There is enough oil up there right now to run the United States economy for the next 200 years. And we have seen what the oil, U.S. oil companies and producers have done. Since the 50s, they decided that they were knowing full well that demand was going to increase for their product. They intentionally reduced their ability to produce gasoline and related products from oil. In other words, their refining capacity, they knew doggone right well that the increase was going to take place, and they held their capacity to produce products for the marketplace here inside the United States. They knew full well it was going to increase, and they took the steps to reduce the refining capacity. That is a given. We have been under this oil monopoly, and between the political and the and oil companies, and not all of them are U.S. anymore, if you've been noticing, the mergers have been taking place, the bigger guys eating the smaller guys in an attempt to bring this down to a controllable scenario. And there's a lot of noise, as a side note here, there's a lot of noise being made about, oh, well, we need to do gasohol. Well, do we? Well, we started that how many years ago? 10, 12 years ago, you could pull into a gas station, you could get gasohol. The story was leaked out that, well, the reason why we can't do this is because it's damaging internal combustion engines, seals, and whatever else. I think Permatex was paid off to make that public announcement. But the reason why it didn't continue 10 or 12 years ago, folks, is because companies like Archer Daniel Midland's were not ready. You know, I've said this before. If you watch the oil companies, people scream about alternative energies. You know, we're being tired of being held hostage. But you're still being held hostage. 10 years ago, Archer Daniel Midland's did not own all of the corn producing that they wanted to own. They weren't ready. Do you think for a second that any great move in this country towards alternative energies is going to take place unless the people, the money, and the very same backing comes from the people that are controlling the oil inside the United States now? The answer to that question is no. A resolute no, it's not going to happen. Did they abandon the gasohol program because, well, people didn't like it? Prices 10 years ago were still relatively low. They didn't have the control that they needed, folks. This is what this is about. In order to command your position in the marketplace, you must control that marketplace and the elements that feed it. ADM was not ready 10 years ago. They are now, and they're just getting richer. So, you know, this whole thing is that we're protecting U.S. interest is folderol. What is not being protected are your interests. And I don't care if you want to regard yourself as being a consumer of oil products or whatever. You are last on the list of consideration by Washington, D.C., all the way down the line. Let me switch gears here, but it still has to do with our wonderful Zionist friends here. And I'm not ashamed, nor I'm not unabashed here, folks. I calls them as I sees them. You know, if you don't think neocons is a healthy thing taking over the Republican Party, then you must surely agree that communists and socialists have taken over the Democrat Party is not a good thing. And I will say, and I will state this again, and I challenge anybody to argue the point with me. If you take a look at world communism and socialism, that goes back to the very same people that like to parade around as themselves as being Jewish, but they're really not, okay? They're hiding under the protection of Jewry, and they'll scream, blue bloody murder, you're being anti-Semitic, when you start unraveling their dastardly, dirty little deeds. And the root of world communism, folks, and socialism can be traced back to the very same Zionist. So, sorry if you don't like it. Research it out. You'll prove it to yourself. Let me take a call before I get into these issues here. Monty in Texas. Hello, Monty.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
I really appreciate your honesty. I think you're really good. And but in some circumstances, I think you missed the oil point. If I was a dominant culture in this world, I would make everyone else use up their oil first and then use... Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
That's a stupid call, never mind. But I would just... If I was that kind of aggressive and kind of, like, mean, I would use up everyone else's stuff first, and then I'd go back to use my resources, and if I had to sell it back to them, I'd sell it at a higher price.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as going over there and bombing the place out, everyone's always talking about nukes, and I'm thinking, what happened to the neutron bomb? Was it actually exist?
Yeah, it did. Just ask Jimmy Carter. He's the one that talked about it, and then he pulled the curtain shut on the argument.
Yeah, you can just blow the place, you know. You can leave everything there because
it's not hard on the furniture. You just kill off the people.
Yeah, you create nuclear waste, and it makes it hard for you people to get the oil out of there. But also, one of the scary things, I don't know if you know about this or not, I was talking to John Moore about this, and it's a sunburn missile that they have, and it's basically what it is that, see, the Soviets already know, or the Russians or whatever you call them now, that they already know they can't catch up to us technologically because we are so advanced and so far ahead of them, that they chose the more practical method is just to go backwards and perfect what you got. And so what they did is they created the submarine missile. And this thing travels at Mach 2, so it can't be caught,
mm-hmm.
no matter what you do. And it carries, it can be launched off of a small boat, maybe a destroyer, something like that. Nothing's fancy. It could be even launched off of, you know, over the hill. And I already researched the area of the Gulf of Persia, and it's like they're under the radar, and you just launch it over. It'll climb over the barely of the mountains and go down into the Persian Gulf. It can carry many payloads, including a nuclear weapon.
Mm-hmm.
It can wipe out the entire fleet that's down there. They got five fleets. I'm kind of going, that's kind of like excessive, but anyway.
Well, and you're right about the sunburn issue, but let me go back here a step. The internal combustion engine, I mean, while it's had its heyday, it is on the way out. We know that.
No, it's always there. I mean, everyone needs something, you know,
But not necessarily. Let me finish my point here before,
okay,
you, Monty. We have, if we brought in no oil from outside the United States, and I don't care if it was Saudi Arabia, I don't care where it came from, we could use the 200 years worth of oil that we have here right under our control. Now, the problem that I see is one of wasting resource. I don't think Gull Island is being saved for anything, because in the next 200 years, I don't even think we'll be using oil. We have the capability right now to lubricate all the trucks and cars on the road out there by using synthetic lubricants. And I don't care if it's in your gearboxes, in your transmissions, it doesn't matter. If you use that in conjunction with gasohol, alcohol and gasoline together, you could soften the usage on petroleum. But I'm not buying for an instant that if we set our minds to it in the next 200 years, I think we could come up with alternative energies that we'd never have to burn oil again and never have to use it again. So, you know, for money interest, yeah, it is to their advantage to keep this game going. But who is it benefiting? It's benefiting a very small core of people. So I don't buy into the argument that we're going to run around the world and use up everybody else's resources before we have to use up our own. Again, this is control and people controlling and manipulating the marketplaces out there. The technologies are coming online, and they could be implemented right now. The problem is that these people that are getting rich off of the oil right now don't want to leave go of it. That's their cash cow. And it's not in our interest to hold that technology back.
There is so much out there. I've been listening to, it's been under the umbrella of Radio Free Austin and RBN, Genesis, and We the People Now. And so for the past 4 years, and it's just kind of like, it's kind of weird. It's like the saying goes, do not seek knowledge, it will find you. And believe me, in certain ways, I wish it didn't find me, because it's really depressing.
Well, but, let me ask you this, Monty. You know, I'll steal the NAACP's one-liner. It was a good one. And this was in regards to blacks inside the country, and especially children and their schooling and going on to college. A mind is a terrible thing to waste.
Yeah.
I mean, what is the greatest sin is to die just as dumb as you were when you were born. I mean, the quest for knowledge is what keeps us fueled, what keeps us being imaginative, keeps us moving forward. And, you know, some people, I've had people say the exact same thing to me before. You know, I wished I didn't know about all this stuff. Well,
no, I feel that I didn't mean it that way. I mean, I just, it's just so overwhelming for me. I'm pretty sensitive, so it's just, but still, it's better to know than not to know.
Yeah.
So, and like I said, and learning all these things, you're talking about alternative fuels. I think it was the Discovery Channel that they had something about these people. They devised a car that they can use the fry grease from a restaurant. I don't know how they did it, all the details. Yeah. Also, I know they can do that with hello generators at home. And so it can be done.
Yeah.
It's just you need to, you know, get out there and do the research and work your butt off. That's it.
Well, but, you know, something and an alternative that's available for the American consumer is the other issue, and it's another one of distribution as well.
Yeah.
Who controls the oil? Who controls the distribution? Who controls all of that? And who is in the back pocket of all the people in Washington, D.C.? You better believe the oil interest people are. The lobbyists are right there. And that's why I said that this does not serve the American people. If there is energy out there, alternative energy sources that we can use to keep this economy going and keeping everybody nice and warm and happy, let's do it. But claiming that oil is, and they've stayed away from this, but it is true in the Middle East that one of the objectives was control of the oil and the contracts and the pipelines and everything else. But how does that serve our interests when we've killed off over a million people, supposedly, because some guy, we didn't like him, and he killed 1,800 of his own people? Well, we just walked in there and killed a million. What does that make us?
Better? You're just making them mad, that's all.
Yeah, that's it. And we're literally, we're going to build what they're claiming. And here's the funny thing about this, is what they're claiming is the threat of terrorism. Well, not yet. But it may come to a point where people want to come over here in any which way they can, kill us off. But they won't be targeting civilians or killing innocent people. They'd be going after the very people that are responsible for doing the damage to them. And it wouldn't be just plain old infrastructure here inside the United States. It would be more military or political, if I can use that term. Monty, thanks for your call.
Thank you, John.
Appreciate it. All right, we'll take the break here. When we get back, I'll get into the issue here of another genocide that is almost gone without notice. Basically, 1.5 million people killed. We'll be right back.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Take the heat out of your sleep. The Bedfan Personal Cooling System will work for anyone that is a hot sleeper, regardless of the reason. It gives you a deep, restful sleep, the way nature intended. No more tossing and turning. Say goodbye to sleepless nights. So ask yourself, are you a hot sleeper and really want to sleep cooler? A woman who suffers from the effects of menopause, including night sweats derived from hot flashes, have a medical condition that causes your body to get hot at night, or just want to save money on your air conditioning bill. It works instantly. No tools or assembly required. Don't worry. The Bedfan fits short beds, tall beds, beds with footboards, sleigh beds, water beds, and many other types of beds. If you want great relief and total comfort, give us a call at 1-210-632-8280. That's 1-210-632-8280. Or visit our site at bedfan.com, your provider for great sleep.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Hey, ADL local leader fired on Armenian issue. Genocide questions sparked a bitter debate. The National Anti-Defamation League fired its New England regional director on the 17th of August, one day after he broke ranks with the national ADL leadership and said human rights organizations should acknowledge the Armenian genocide that began in 1915. The firing of Andrew H. Tarsi, who had served as regional director for about 2 years as a civil rights counsel for about 5 years before that, prompted an immediate backlash among prominent local Jewish leaders against the ADL's national leadership and its national director, Abraham H. Foxman. My reaction is that this was a vindictive, intolerant, and destructive act, ironically by an organization and leader whose mission, fundamental mission, is to promote tolerance. Newton businessman Steve Grossman, a former ADL regional board member, said yesterday. He said, I predict that Foxman's actions will precipitate wholesale resignations from the regional board, a meaningful reduction in ADL's regional fundraising, and will further exacerbate the ADL's relationship with a non-Jewish community coming out of this crisis around the Armenian genocide. Tarsi, 38, said he had been struggling with a national position for weeks and finally told Foxman in a phone conversation Thursday that he found the ADL stance morally indefensible. The regional board's executive committee backed Tarsi and, according to a source familiar with the discussion, even went a step further, resolving to support legislation now pending before Congress to acknowledge the deaths of 1.5 million Armenians during World War I era as genocide. The National Office's three-page response, which it provided yesterday to the Globe, did not mention the local office intent to support the legislation, but it made it clear just how far apart the two sides were on an issue with local, national, and international implications. The letter, signed by Foxman and Glenn S. Louie, the ADL's national chairman, said, we have acknowledged the massacres of Armenians in the hands of the Ottoman Empire and called on Turkey to do more to confront its past and reconcile with Armenia. We will continue to press Turkey publicly and privately, but the letter also makes clear that the national ADL feels the safety of Israel, which considers Turkey a rare Muslim ally, is paramount. The national ADL leaders also said employees who do not agree with the ADL's position should not differ publicly but should resign. No organization can or should tolerate such an act of open defiance. Asked how they would resolve the difference of opinion, both local and national leaders said they did not know. They've taken a position, Foxman said in an interview. We've taken a position. I hope they will read our position, and hopefully we will have conversations. Now, Tarsi's firing and the national office's rebuke of the local office's independence marked the latest twist in a debate that began weeks ago in Watertown, home to more than 8,000 Armenian Americans. Residents there became angry when they learned that the ADL was a sponsor of the town's anti-bigotry program, No Place for Hate. And on Tuesday this week, the Watertown Council voted unanimously to pull out of the program. At issue was not the program itself, but rather a tangle of international politics dating back more than 90 years. From 1915 to 1923, Ottoman Turks massacred as many as 1.5 million Armenians in what is now modern-day Turkey. Now, Armenians, historians, and some European nations have recognized the killings as genocide, but the Turkish government has refused to accept the genocide label, and the national ADL refuses to use it as well. I'll continue with the story. This is one part of a three-part story. Hopefully I can get in here before the bottom of the next hour. We'll take the break for a minute and a half. Be right back with the second hour of the National Intel Report.
It's true.